The first reading reminded me of that both readings go together, and it is really that we find the Lord's will on the way to somewhere else. That we don't have to go to the ends of the earth or the ends of the sky to find the will of God. He's right here. He's with us now. We may, people go places like, you know, somebody's just telling me there's a priest in our diocese doing the Camino in Spain. That's great. But God is also with us on our journey right here in Kaiser. And the trick is to find him here. He speaks to us in church, and then we put this gospel into action with the victims we meet along the way of life, which is almost all of us at one time or another. When I was during college, I worked 5 years at the LA Public Library System, and then I went into a monastery. I was there about 2 years. I didn't make vows. I didn't feel that was the right community for me, so I went on a leave of absence. It turned out to be a little longer than I thought. But I ended up getting the job at American Airlines, which I did for 10 years. And I always consider myself on a leave of absence from this particular monastery. So in addition to traveling quite extensively, I would often, what we did was we'd trade days. So I'd work for 10 days straight, and then I'd get a 5-day stretch. If I say that again, it's going to come out really bad. We used to be able to switch shifts. And so I'd get 5 or 6 days in a row. Off I'd go to some community all over the country looking for the will of God. I did this for 10 years, more like 13 years, but 10 years with the airline. I really met a lot of really cool, I went to a lot of cool communities and monasteries, really, really enjoyed it a lot. Never quite found what I was looking for. I was looking for the perfect community. But you know what? I could never find it. Because the problem is, you know, there isn't one. That's what I found out. But I was going all over the place. And I remember I was in Massachusetts one day, and I called my father. Now, my father, who is now deceased for about 10 years, he was an agnostic. The only two times I ever saw him at Mass was at my ordination and my first Mass. So I did all that just to get him in church a couple of times, but he was really proud of the fact that his son was a priest. He had pictures of me in a collar all over the house, never-ending source of conversation, and anybody walked in the house. So, you know, but I called him. He was a font of wisdom in spite of his lack of going to church, and he said, "So where are you at now?" And I said, "I'm in Massachusetts." He said, "So you're still in search of your vocation, huh?" And I said, "Yep." And he said, "So tell me, why do you have to go 3,000 miles to find the will of God?" I didn't have an answer to that. And actually, that was the moment when I really realized that God was not in that. I mean, it was very beneficial, but that wasn't necessary. It isn't necessary to go a far distance to know the will of God. There's a lot to learn that way. But I found him in the church across the street, and I literally lived across the street from a church. I was very active there, and I thought, I wonder, you know. God is very near to us, and the gospel is the same way. We don't have to go far to find Jesus passing on the road. This is a really interesting gospel because if you've ever been to this place, and I have, you know, they start out in Jericho, which is below sea level, and then you go to Jerusalem, which is at about 3,000 feet if you go to the Temple Mount, basically. And it's a long climb, but it's mostly a very windy and dangerous road. It was filled with robbers. Usually you went in a group and had some guards with you, you know, look strong-looking people. This gentleman apparently was alone, and he's going up to Jerusalem. And here he's coming back from Jerusalem. And these other two are probably going up to Jerusalem, the Levite and the priest. Both of them are probably going to Jerusalem for religious purposes. If they were to encounter a dead body or a situation like his, they would have been rendered ritually impure. So they had a bit of a moral dilemma. They had in their mind as they walk up the road, I have a destination. I have a goal, like I did with the vocation thing. I know where I'm going. And I see this gentleman over here. If I go over there and help him, I'm not going to be able to do what I'm supposed to do in Jerusalem because I'm going to be rendered impure for 7 days. So they pass by. They do what, you know, when we're trying to avoid something on the sidewalk, you cut across and walk this way, and that's what they did. It was a canyon, so they had to work hard to go across to the other side, and that's what they did. And the priest was the same way. No doubt had some good spiritual reason of making a sacrifice in the temple or something like this, of which being ritually impure would have negated their purpose in going. Unfortunately, this isn't the way. God often has something for us on the journey or close by, and we're so focused on our goal that we miss what's going on here. The goal is heaven. On earth, we don't have a goal so much as we find at the end of our lives, so I'm told because I'm not at the end of mine yet, but that it was the journey was the thing. And it was the things on the journey where God was. Isn't it funny how you can see God in the rearview mirror easier than you can going forward? Do you find that's true? God was here in this disaster. Something happened for the good, even however bad it was. And that God was speaking and often speaks to us from the past so that we'll recognize him in the future. So this Samaritan, who has no qualms about this, the Samaritan is not going to Jerusalem to sacrifice. He sacrifices in Samaria. He's not worried about being ritually impure. He's a heretic, according to the Jews. But he's in tune with the will of God. And the will of God is the person whom I encounter that is in need, that I'm called to help. I can't help everybody. But the people we encounter are an expression of God's will. That's why I think it's so important with my father. He helped me out a lot. You know, he wasn't an atheist. He just wasn't sure if God was good or bad, and it was convenient for him not to feel that way. I won't go into it, but you know, I meet a lot of people like that. He was a modern individual. He was ahead of his time in that sense, but God spoke to him through him in more than one occasion, and you could. In encountering someone like that doesn't go to church, you could say, this man has nothing to teach me because he's not on the same page I am. And that it could not be any less true. God, that's precisely the kind of person God will speak through. He is very surprising. Jesus himself, when he appeared on earth, people didn't know how to take him. He would tell stories like this as if this beat up individual was more important than sacrificing in the temple, because to God it is. But the people needed a mindset change that God is present in each individual as well as the journey, the destination that I have on my journey. There's a really famous thing that Mother Teresa of Calcutta said. I guess it's Saint Teresa of Calcutta. No, I can't call her anything else. And she said, somebody asked her, they do this hour of adoration every day, and they said, well, what would happen if somebody came to the door asking for help during your hour of adoration and you were in there? And she said, well, I'd get up and I'd go help them, because the presence of God would simply would move from the adoration to the person at the door. I just thought, gee, that's pretty good. You know, I like that. That was her. She understood, I think, what Jesus was saying, that our liturgy, which is so important as Catholics, also must move out into the world around us. We do that really well at St. Ed's, I think. There's always room for improvement. In my individual life, can I recognize Jesus on the way? It's a constant challenge to recognize Jesus in the unexpected circumstances, as well as church teaching and through the Bible and through the liturgy. And we find him in these unusual situations, and we find him, like on a pilgrimage, not so much when we get there, but on the bus. And this is the way God wishes to teach us, is that he's with us every step of the journey, not just at the goal, not just in the faraway places or the tough things to go to, but in the everyday. Because Jesus was an everyday man. He was a common laborer when he was here. And I think there's a good reason for that, is that he lived and worked among people for many years before he emerged for 3 years only to teach us about life. And he wanted to let us know that while he was there for 30 years, that was still the will of God. And I'm sure he helped many people in a nondescript way before he became public with who he was. So we too are like Jesus at work in the world, looking for God in the midst of many challenging situations. And we find him ironically, when we take our focus off ourselves and our own goal, and we find him in God's will, which is very often at odds with our own, but is always the best, and often at a right angle intersection, but very close by to what we had planned.